Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Cheer Bomb listeners. We have a special introduction this week. For our intro, we have Miss Lisa Welsh from Cheer Med. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, thank you for having me, Marisol.
Thank you for coming back. We did not fire Marcus. Never. He's coming back. He'll be in the interview with Infinity and Infinity's David Owen and in the outro. But I asked my friend Lisa to come on. Mm-hmm. Because I gotta take a breath, Lisa. Because
yes, I know.
Take two. This is our take three. Take two. I ran out to let the dog out. real live podcasting people.
Yes.
So the reason I wanted you on the podcast for this episode is because I wanted more of a parental perspective than I can give. My kid's not competing this season, but I'm an observer and. We have an audience of parents.
Yes.
And so they've reached out to me multiple times about state of play, cost of cheerleading.
And those are the biggies.
And I wanted you to come on just for a few minutes just to, you know, restate what the parental, you know, I know you and I both are not speaking for all the parents in cheerleading. We have a platform, and
yes.
I feel like you're more of an expert on this than I am. So I just wanted to rehash it, because I feel there's been a shift. I feel like I see certain organizations making changes, and I'm starting to wonder, are parents actually being listened to?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? That would be so great. I think they are being listened to. They were ignored for a long time, is my sense, as a mom and also as, you know, as a social media influencer. I've seen that what I think the difference is, you have the independent event producers, which is really a loose organization that represents, you know, all other USASF sanctioned events that are not a varsity competition. And then you have some other companies, for instance, Infinity, which has announced that they're going to be building the Champions League from one event to a whole competition series next season. And so they're offering something else. There's finally a choice. Now, with the parents continuously speaking up about the cost of cheer being too expensive, you're having families being priced right out of it, you know, people leaving the industry, and therefore you have the gyms are suffering because they're losing athletes and families. And I think the gyms, to be honest with you, and the coaches and the gym owners are getting frustrated as well.
Yeah, I have a sense of that too, because I think, you know, I've received email upon email from parents who just want to do this for their kid. But this is not a middle class sport. In my opinion, I'm not an economics major or anything, but it's not a middle class sport anymore. Right. If it's not that, the definition of middle class needs to change.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I think the big issue, what we're dealing with right now, is state of play. And, you know, 18 years ago when my daughters started cheer in All Stars, state of play didn't exist. And we had a person on staff at the gym that would make our travel arrangements, and they would negotiate as a gym for a block. Mm-hmm. And what we received actually was a discount. You know, they would guarantee, okay, we're going to give you 30 rooms over this weekend. And, you know, to guarantee those rooms, we wanted the hotels would say, great. and give them a discount, and they would pass it on to the families.
Well,
so that was wonderful.
And when did State of Play come in? Because I have I think my kid has been now, it would be 5 years that she started cheer.
Yeah.
And so when she first came on, my issue at State of Play came from more of a process management, because that's what I do in my regular life.
Yes, and yes.
She has a different last name than I do. And I was booking so I was just curious on the back end who was verifying.
Right.
Because I know my gym required this of us because it was required of them.
Correct.
But I knew that no one was checking because...
Right.
Because I went through kind of the process and then I stopped. I stopped. You know, I can say this now because those seasons are behind me. I didn't go through that system.
Right.
And no one stopped me.
I think it's been, I want to say 4 years that State of Play became mandatory. There was a period with Worlds where Worlds and paid bids, and then that rolled over to Summit paid bids. You got the athlete received free lodging at their hotel. You didn't have to stay at the Disney hotel, but if you did, you got a break. Mm-hmm. So you had, that was kind of a reverse State of Play. It was, you were happy to stay to play. Some, the older
kids. You got a benefit from it.
Yeah, it was definitely a benefit. Just like in the old days, you could get a discount if you stayed as a gym at a particular hotel. Once the event producers saw that this could be, financially lucrative to them and created this mandatory rule, you can't compete unless you are registered, and they would verify it with our gym anyways. We were told we had to give a confirmation number from, they go through their own housing company for the varsity competitions, and it's called housing. Mm-hmm. And that's where, a lot of this came to a head last weekend with a competition one up in Nashville. And, no one is taking responsibility, but over 150 rooms were overbooked.
I saw that. They were sleeping in the hallways, and the cheerleaders.
The cheerleaders were sleeping in the lobbies. They had banquet rooms that, no sheets, no cots.
I would have flipped out.
Yeah. I would have too.
Oof.
And how rested can these kids be when they compete? I mean, this is actually, if I was a gym, I'd say that this was, something that just, would make them, I don't want to say disqualify them, but actually the reverse. These kids weren't rested. They were waiting for their rooms for hours. And then when they did have a room, it was, they were squished six in one king size bedroom was one of the stories I was told.
Do you think that, I was wondering about this. I was wondering if the shift that may be taking place, and we won't really know until we have a historical perspective, but
right.
if there is a shift happening and it does roll up, I wonder if social media had something to do with that, because now things like that, that's like, I saw that on my feed, and so that was like
what was going on in
Dallas.
And it's happened in other places. It's happened at Cheer Sport. The social media definitely has made it broader. People were Twittering. There was a local news station in Nashville that was picking up on it through Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely social media. Brands like Cheerbomb and Cheermad, I think, have given, a place for parents to go and express themselves where they were just being fed the party line. And,
Yeah, and I think... I'm going to focus on the good, which is I see the dial moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Next season will be interesting to see how it shakes out as
gyms
decide where and who they're going to compete with.
Correct.
But I am excited. I'm excited to see the dial move. This is a perfect segue for me to introduce this week's guest, which I have to thank you for.
Okay. He's doing some great things over at Infinity. So the Champions League, I'm very excited about.
No further ado, here's Mr. David Owens.
Okay, so this is really big for us. We have the general manager of Infinity Competitions and Events, David Owens. This is so cool. How's it going?
We feel so legit.
No, this is so cool.
I'm not that cool, guys.
No. Your title is super awesome, though.
You work for a cool company. That is true. Thank you so much for coming on. I reached out to you on Facebook after we saw an announcement that we actually shared on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. I think, about Infinity opening up some new events for next competition season. So thank you. Thank you for coming on our little podcast. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing all right. All right. Just a lovely Monday morning here in Oklahoma.
Yay.
Oklahoma. So okay.
It's based out of Atlanta, right? The company? Are you?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Infinity is home base is in Atlanta, Georgia. I work remote for Infinity. That and it kind of works out since I'm right in the middle. So if we have to go West Coast or East Coast, I'm right in the middle.
That's pretty perfect.
I'm a huge fan of remote working. I remote work. Thus, I'm podcasting on a Monday afternoon. Can you tell, how long have you been with the company? When did you come in? Tell us the story of you and Infinity.
So my history with Infinity starts back probably when I was a gym owner. I'm a former gym owner in Oklahoma, owned a gym for 9 years, and I was a member of their gym program. And then from there, I was also running competitions and shut my gym down, got more serious about competitions.
What was your gym name?
Basically, Empire Elite. Our biggest claim to fame is that we had a really, really talented special needs team.
Awesome. That's an amazing claim to fame.
I love watching those divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best division in cheerleading.
It is.
I agree.
The kids do it for the right reasons. So.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I have to interrupt. Were you a cheerleader at some point, or did you...
Yes. My wife and I were both cheerleaders in high school as well as at the University of Oklahoma. I also did all-star cheer at Cheer Athletics back in their open team days, back when open was just fun and you practiced like six times. But together, yeah.
I love those competed. Days.
yeah. Now it's like a job for those kids. So. But yeah, so we had the event, we had the gym, shut that down, concentrated more on the events, and I've been really pushing those the past few years, and successful with our company, Rockstar Championships, and then we have merged and come together with Infinity to produce their events. A lot of people don't know Infinity's been producing events. This is year six, but they've only done one. They've done the Champions League event, which started out the first 3 years with the movie. I'm sure everybody remembers the Champions League movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's transitioned to the WCA competition at Opryland, and that has been the Infinity Champions League event for the past few years. And go ahead.
Can I interrupt? Because I'm a novice in the cheerleading world. It's still a shock to me that I have a podcast about cheerleading. I think the interesting thing is there's a lot of parents out there like me who didn't know any of this. Like mm-hmm. maybe they only know of one competition organization. So can you give us like, because I've only known of All-Stars myself, mm-hmm. right? But there's different companies, different, they're all within the same division, all under USAF. Am I explaining it? Like, can you diagram it for me? Like as a novice?
Sure. When it comes to mainstream all-star cheerleading, there is the USASF, which is the United States All-Star Federation, and then there are member companies. So my company, Infinity, and all the event producers that you know pay a fee to join the USASF, and we sign an agreement saying we'll follow their rules and their stipulations and everything else.
So they're like the governing body that produces the rules and stuff.
They produce rules, safety rules. They do not control scoring, which is a sticking point for many of us in the industry, because if they were a true governing body, like in other sports, they would control scoring because,
Is that why... scoring's not digital right now? Because that's
scoring is digital. Almost everybody I know uses computers. So there are still some events where it sort of just makes sense to do handwritten score sheets, but for the most part, everybody does computer scoring.
Okay, great.
But to answer your question, so everybody is kind of underneath the USASF umbrella. We all produce events of varying sizes, and we can also have all-star, prep, novice, rec, school. There's a thing called rec star in certain parts of the country, which is basically all-star, but it's for recreational teams. There's a whole menagerie of different things.
And it's all, is it different geographically?
Very much so.
Very much so.
Very much so. Yeah. Where I'm at currently, rec is not a huge thing, but our good friends at JAMS out in California, they host an event in Vegas that has 600 rec teams.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we don't, it just kind of depends on where you're at.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really realize that there were multiple. I only had in my head that there was like maybe one, maybe two event companies, and you know, but I'm based in North Carolina. Oh, really? So
there's over,
no, there are a lot of companies.
I think there's over 100.
Wow. News to me.
Girl, we used to go to competitions every weekend.
I assumed, don't make fun of me for being silly, but I assumed it was all one, you know, like one organization. Because it's also, it felt for me as a parent the same. You know, mm-hmm. like you go in, you pay the double ding.
You sit,
the wait, play, watch. State of play, the whole thing. It just seemed like uniformed. So I made an assumption that it was, you know, pretty much one or two organizations. That's on me.
The more you know.
For the majority of us that are in the industry that are not a part of one large conglomerate company, you would be able to tell somewhat of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't do state of play. Most of us have lower competition and entry fees.
I saw that.
Honestly, a more personal touch in many cases.
No, that is so awesome. I heard that, I may have read it, that like 2-day competitions are going to be free entry.
So 3-day competitions are not free entry. So that's a huge thing for parents. Our Infinity Champions League events are 3-day events. Mm-hmm. On Friday nights, we have a prom for the athletes.
Yes.
So the kids get all dolled up just like they would for a normal prom. And it's all athletes. It's from the minis all the way up to even the tinies, all the way up to the seniors. We have two separate proms for the different age groups. And then, so we do that night with a big red carpet and the prom. And then Saturday, Sunday is the event. Part of the reason why that is not included and the parents get in free is because we have partners. So Rockstar Championships produces the Champions League in Kansas City. Deep South Spirit produces the one in Biloxi. JAMS produces the one in Las Vegas. Redline produces the one in Dallas. And since we have partners, we don't necessarily want to dictate to them how to run their business.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the added expense of the prom. So with all of that, we left those events as is and separated them, basically notating that they are 3-day events. Our 2-day event, we have a 2-day event, Nationals. We're calling it Ultra Nationals in Las Vegas. We're really excited about that. We've got a lot of things up our sleeve when it comes to that event that we want to kind of surprise the industry with.
I can't wait. I just see a bunch of cheer dads thinking, I want my child at the Vegas.
Yeah, I would say that we are definitely looking towards our parents to cater to them at that event and definitely raise the bar for everybody else. So we're very much excited about that. But parents will also get in free to our 1-day events.
Well, it sounds... Ooh. I come from the parent perspective of cheerleading. I'm not a cheerleader, never cheered. But what I love hearing and why I was so interested in having you on the podcast was it's the first thing that I saw that came across my field of where any, like, I as far as a business, I've seen the coaches and the Coaches Alliance address parental concerns, but I really haven't seen any business acknowledge it. And that was the first time I saw, because that's, you know, our audience is a lot of parents. And if I'm not going to assume you've heard our podcast, but a lot of what has been written in from a parent perspective is this, like, a high level of frustration about costs, because everyone loves cheerleading and wants to have, you know, they want to continue. Anyway, I'm very excited to hear a company address, like, the parental side of it. Needs. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah. No.
Well, and there is a lot of cost. What we definitely don't want to see is that this become a sport for the elites.
Yes, and that's it feels like that way sometimes.
It is getting to the point where it is almost as bad as equestrian and some other sports that, like, you don't hear about in most parts of the country because you don't have enough money to participate in it.
No, exactly. I mean, we've had people write into us, shockingly tell us, you know, the amount of debt they're in or how it has personally affected them, but how much their cheerleader loves it and they do everything to make it happen. So, you know, I feel like there's an underlying, you know, energy right now, the word, there's a high level of frustration from parents who are just regular, you know, Joe, like, is that, that's nice. That's okay mm-hmm. to say, right? That's yeah. not insulting. I'm a regular Joe who want their kids to participate, but exactly to your point, it's becoming this high level, you know, I look at some teams that my, you know, cheerleader would dream to be on mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking dollar signs. Like, mm-hmm. is that air travel? Is that this? Is that, like, oof.
I have to get a dress for that.
Do they change? You know, so I appreciate that. I appreciate the industry, the coaches, as well as businesses thinking about that and not just continuously hitting us up.
right.
Was that
Do you have more money? Give us more money. Nobody wants that.
Is that part of, like, your mission, your thought, is the parental perspective? I mean, I really appreciate the...
Well, we understand that, you know, it's not just gym owners and coaches that drive the industry. We have to think about it as a whole. And to your point, there are parents who will sacrifice almost everything for the sake of their child's happiness. And you shouldn't have to choose between a car payment or a cheer payment.
Amen. Say it again.
You got that right.
you shouldn't have to choose between a car payment or a cheer payment. And some of the gyms get frustrated because parents aren't paying on time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to take a look at the person in the mirror and say, what are we asking these people to do? Having been a gym owner, I know that overhead, and luckily I owned a gym in Oklahoma, which our overhead was nothing. But if you go to a gym in Denver or in New Jersey or wherever you're at, mm-hmm. the overhead can be astronomical.
I imagine with insurance and everything.
My parents, when I owned my gym, I'm sure thought I was driving, you know, an Escalade. I'm just a practical person. I still drive a Honda that has a broken mirror. But, so, like, there are people that are getting filthy rich in this industry, but for the most part, it's not your independent event producers, and it's not your small gyms. And even a lot of the big gyms are not making as much money as you might think they are.
Yeah, or even...
Just because... With that huge size comes huge cost.
Yeah. I would even go one level down. Some of these cheerleaders, the older ones who, you know, bring a lot of attention to their teams and their gyms and so on with huge social media followings, they're, you know, working really hard to pay for their, there's very few people that are making money in this industry. From my perspective, you know, in the, you know, we've had like 30 some interviews now. Mm-hmm. Everyone is here because we love cheer. We love mm-hmm. the sport. And I also think there's a lot of excitement about the future. So I think that's why I was kind of really excited to have you on, because I was like, ooh, what does that mean for the future of cheerleading?
Oh, yeah.
So how does, as a parent, we don't know how a gym, and Marcus, you might be able to speak to this more, how they pick where to go. I know... You know, they probably pick geographically, cost, size of the gym. But how is, from a business perspective, how do you, like, market yourself so that gyms are aware of the different competitions?
with Infinity, we're very lucky that we have a very recognizable brand in cheerleading. Mm-hmm. And so people know that Infinity have the best shoes in the industry. They have the best backpacks in the industry. And, you know, that notoriety in a good way sort mm-hmm. of helps us.
You've got the brand. You
know, with our events. Right. We have the brand. So the brand will help. The brand will help push the events. And you already know that you're going to be not starting with something rinky dink. You're starting with a large company that's very professional and well known in the industry. And just as much as our brand is important to us, we have standards to live up to. Mm-hmm. And our goal isn't just to live up to those, it's to exceed them. So we're really hoping to step up the game for events this next season and put pressure on some of the larger event producers to start showing some return on investment to the parents and coaches and athletes in our industry.
I literally got chills.
Amen.
You're going to make basically a third of my audience extremely happy with that statement. So you've had this background, you have the credentials of cheerleading. What are some best practices let me give you an example. Let's say you're doing a TED talk for cheerleading. What would be the best practices you would offer to, because you have the perspective of a gym owner, you have the perspective of an event. Do you have children that are in cheerleading?
I have two boys. I have a feeling at some point, at least one of them will get into cheer, whether because they asked us to, or we're going to be like, try it. We think you'll like it. But at this point in time, I don't have any cheerleaders.
Okay, but you've worked
in my individual family.
Okay, but you've worked with enough. So what are some if you could just say anything to the cheerleading industry, what would be some of the best practices? What would you wish to tell parents, coaches, gym owners to make this, you know, the best industry possible for everyone? No pressure.
If we as an industry are going to keep this sustainable, we all have to work to bring costs down. And part of that is parents being smart enough, especially ones that have been doing it longer than a year, is to be smart enough to, you know, look at where your money is going during the year. I know it all goes to the gym, but if you're attending 12 competitions, that's great. But do you need to do 12 competitions? Mm. Like, it's different than a rec baseball or YMCA baseball league. Mm-hmm. There you pay your $60, $70, $100, and that's your season. With this, every event you add is more money. Mm-hmm. And so being specifically choosy about which events you attend and what that experience and everything else brings to you, your family, and your gym is important to look at.
I wonder if any gyms, I don't know this answer, ever have like a parent as part of the discussion when they plan out the calendar for the next year, if they look, you know,
I definitely know that a lot of the larger gyms and even some of the smaller gyms have sort of a parent committee. Mm-hmm. They, you know, test the waters and get the temperature of, you know, how all the parents are feeling, and then try to steer the ship in the direction that's going to make the majority of them happy. The case everywhere. I know, yeah. When I owned my gym, I already made choices that I felt were fair and, you know, equitable for our program, but I did listen to our booster club president and, you know, some others. We didn't have a committee necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't have complaints about how much we were competing or where we were competing.
All right, I have a second question that might reveal itself how ignorant I am about things. So I will edit it out if it is the case, but Summit, that is, that in your events don't lead up to Summit, right?
Correct. We do not offer bids to the Summit, nor do we condone anyone taking bids to the Summit.
What is that?
You ask a lot of people in the industry, including large gym owners, small gym owners, event producers. It is one of the most detrimental things that's happened to our industry.
And so I'm going to piggyback on that because as a layman, the way it's been branded, or at least in my view, like in, again, I'm coming from a North Carolina view. That's like the end all be all for the majority of cheerleaders is the summit, which has been, I feel like I've been branded that way.
So, they've done a great job of marketing it. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So the USASF, was given a proposal by many of the event producers in the industry to start an all levels championship at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't know is that USASF has no contracts at Disney World.
Hmm. That is interesting.
They are also not the event producer for the World Championships at Disney because they don't have the contracts. There is a very large company in our industry that holds all those contracts,
mm-hmm.
and also offers bids to the summit. So
do they also happen to control me being able to watch it on TV? We don't have to name names.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So essentially the membership of the USASF called for an all levels championship that could be held at Disney World. And they said, we are not going to do that. And then the next year, there was an all-levels championship held at Disney World the week after Worlds.
Because I've gotten a lot of, and I have been to Summit twice with my cheerleader, and I think in one of my earlier podcasts, maybe last season, I described it as, you know, it was a great experience. The first time it was magical, it was wonderful. Second time it was great. The third time when we were making a decision about, you know, her cheerleading as a fact, I wanted to take some, you know, we were a D2 gym. I wanted to take Summit out of the equation of where she was going to go. Cause I'm like, we've done this. We've been here. What do you want? And it had a change in her career because, you know, I feel like she was not by the gym or anything. I'm talking the industry, what you see on social media, the way it's presented, that's the end all be all. And I'm like, you know, for a sport, and again, this is me as a layman, I feel like that's detrimental to the industry because there's only so many wild cards visits you can go to where you then kind of like, okay, I'm paying for Disney. I'm speaking for myself, by the way,
When I owned my gym, I took teams to the summit the first 2 years they had it. That was when there was no D2. That was when there was no wild cards. And it was honestly the hardest competition I've ever been to at any level. I coached college for 9 years. I own an all-star gym. I've coached high school. I've coached internationally. That is the hardest event I've ever been to. And people had a problem with that. And there was also more money to be made. And then wild cards happened.
When did wild cards come into
the third year?
Okay. How old is Summit?
I shut my gym down in 14. So we went in 13 and 14. So 6 years, 7 years.
Oh gosh. I would have thought it's been forever. Like, you know, the whole, since you've been Marcus.
I think the first year of Worlds was just like 2004, 2005, maybe.
I keep forgetting how young this industry is, you know?
So, yeah, it's only just been over 10 years, almost 15 years.
Yeah, it's so young that they keep making stuff up as they go along.
Yeah.
Again, for my clarity's sake, and probably when I speak like this, I'm pretty sure I'm answering questions for a lot of parents out there.
No, heck yes.
So Worlds, right, is mm-hmm. a totally different experience. Even though it's at the same place as Summit and mm-hmm. D2 Summit, it's a completely different bid process.
So yes, completely different. It's easier actually to get a paid or at large bid to Worlds than it is to get a paid or regular bid to the Summit.
Because it's all, I'm pretty sure, because it's all level 5.
Right.
Because there's only one level. The summits, you have 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then like restricted. So there's just a whole lot more teams and people to go through.
So David, for your event, what is the if there is an equivalent of Summit or an equivalent of like what is that the Vegas event you were talking about?
We don't. I mean, as far as,
or is it a different model?
It's a very different model. We actually don't condone the way that the Summit is done. You know, you pretty much nailed it on the head when you said if you accept a wildcard bid, you're basically paying to go to Disney.
Let me just rephrase. That's my personal opinion.
you're exactly correct. When you have a, you know, 0.5 to 3% chance of advancing past the wild card round, you're paying for Disney.
Yeah, which is okay. And I want to say to people who are listening who have accepted bids and are going the season, enjoy it. You're raising the money. You're going to compete. Leave it on the mat. I don't want to crush little hearts of anyone going to Summit.
No, I mean I love Disney World. I'm going myself.
Yeah, so, no, me too.
Not to Summit, but I'm going to Disney World right after Worlds.
And I love Summit. I had great experiences, but that was me as a parent, and you know, processing how I had to budget for it the next year. I'm like, okay, if she gets a Summit bid, you know, year three, I'm paying for a trip to Disney. In my head, that's what I was thinking.
Well, and that's
going back to Infinity, what's your model like then?
So in year one, we already had 5 Champions League events. This year, we've got 2 more actually the rest of the season. We've got one coming up in 2 weeks in Dallas with Red Lion Championships acting as event producer. And then we have one in mid-May in Las Vegas where Jams is acting as the event producer. So while we don't necessarily have an end of season event as Infinity proper, one of our partners, Jams, is hosting basically the West Coast equivalent of an end of the season event in Las Vegas. So we would definitely encourage people to, you know, the biggest expense in the industry is the travel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're having, you know, unfortunately some gyms are just geographically locked in a place where there are no events and they've got to travel 4, 5, 6 hours every weekend if they want to go compete.
Yeah.
Which is a huge expense on parents. And so the more local you can stay, and limit those traveling events,
mm-hmm.
the better off you're going to be financially and, you know, as a gym. Because you know, you said that essentially everyone has been made to think that Summit is the end all be all of, you know, the season,
mm-hmm.
but it's, if your goal is to be the best in your division in the world.
Sorry, that's my dog. Yes, go ahead.
If your goal is to be the best in the world, you're not competing against every team there. You're not competing against, you know, the majority of international teams. You're not crossing off all the boxes. You know, if you're going for a competition and you know you're not guaranteed to go to day two or even really have an opportunity, then, you know, you're sort of already crossing off the boxes that is not the end all be all as a competition. So, you know, in the future, we're looking to do something. You know, I'm not going to divulge all of our plans, but we're looking to do something that is definitely different. You know, not the same model, because we don't feel that model is sustainable. We feel like that is 100% a money grab.
Yeah, no, I speaking for myself.
And business is business. Mm-hmm. We understand that businesses need to make money, but you know, at the detriment of our industry is not the best way to do it.
This is my theory on it, and it's just my, you know, limited research. But I feel like I've read so much about the travel sports, not necessarily related to cheer, but like in volleyball and baseball. And that model is not sustainable for,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like cheerleading is such a unique new sport that I feel like we have a canvas open to create it the way, you know, that would serve everyone. Gyms, there's enough people interested in the sport that we should all be fine.
Yeah.
No one should feel like they're being, you know, strangled financially. Not the gym owners, not the coaches, not the parents, and not cheerleaders. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. And having you on and explaining all this to us, I think was really valuable for me because I learned a lot. And I really appreciate it. I'm grateful that you came on and, you know, educated this layman. I didn't even know there were more events. Is there anything you'd like to share with the audience? Any place?
Just, you know, really excited to be bringing Infinity Events and the experience that, you know, we're going to give to everybody to set the bar higher to all of our 8 events this next season. And we will be having more announcements come out as the season goes along. We have more tricks up our sleeve.
Do you have a social media that's different than the Infinity Shoes one, or do you want to?
Nope, everything is centralized. So our website is all the same. If you want to find the website for events, which we're still revamping it a bit, but you go to experience. So you go to infinity.com, and then experience is the button you click, and that'll give you information and pricing on all of the events. And we are redoing the website currently, so we'll have, you know, a more interactive competition experience on the website soon. But that's it. And then @Infinity is the Twitter handle.
Awesome.
And yeah, just you can keep up with us on all the social media. Instagram's huge as well.
And I hope when you are ready to divulge your future plans, you'll come back on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, certainly can.
And share it with us.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Do you see any of your events coming to North Carolina?
We are going to have an event in Charlotte.
Rapid fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of our 1-day events will be in Charlotte. I believe it's going to be that first weekend in February of 2020.
Awesome. Ooh. Exciting. So, David, we do this thing with first-time guests. We do this segment called Rapid Fire. It's just 1 minute of... Marcus not being very rapid.
Not being fast at all. But I try my best.
You do an awesome job. He'll just ask you like just random questions about you, like your favorite XYZs, and the audience gets to know a little bit more about you. So
okay.
Hold on for rapid fire with Marcus.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, and, I'm ready.
Okay, we'll start with something easy. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite food?
Pizza.
Same. Okay. Being a former cheerleader, was there a program that like really stood out to you?
I mean, I was a part of cheer athletics, so I will definitely say cheer athletics.
Heck yes. Do you have a favorite cheerleading routine?
The old Georgia All-Stars routines from the early 2000s where they did the nurse thing.
Oh, the themed ones.
And they did the Prince wedding
yes.
theme.
Those are oh my God, my the favorite. Wedding one.
Those are probably my favorite routines.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You gotta put that on the website.
Holly Humphreys was my everything. I loved her. She was center flyer for a good bit. Anyway, I'm sorry, my heart stopped. I haven't thought of those routines in a really long time. I need to go YouTube that.
You need to find those videos.
And we'll post them. Okay. Were you a tumbler?
I was sort of a jack of all trades, master of none. I could throw a whip. I could throw a whip to full. Only ever competed a full, and that was on hard floor. And then I was a decent stunner, but. I was a team guy. I was the one that got to hold the entire pyramid. So,
and yeah. What are you grateful for?
Honestly, cheerleading. It was something that I wanted to do in high school. I did it, much to the surprise of everyone, including my parents. And I had a scholarship for diving, and gave it up to cheer at the University of Oklahoma. And
oh wow!
Here I am, all these years later, and not a regret. Anywhere in sight.
That's beautiful.
Awesome. I always love to hear stories of people who have made a career in cheerleading when they have a love and passion for it.
We have this theme about this theme about following dreams.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, David, for coming on.
Yes, this was awesome. Very educational.
Yes, I feel much more informed and slightly like I might be in trouble with a company that I should not name.
You shall not be named.
It's like Voldemort. Potter.
Voldemort, yeah, that's what we say. We called it the Oz in season one when we tried to like not, because we, you know, we're, like I said to you before we started podcasting, we're not investigative journalists. I'm not going to...
Yeah. No.
Put you on the spot on anything. And but when we try to have conversations, and what that's what the podcast is about, just really conversations with industry leaders, whenever that company's name came up, we always have to, like, we don't want to be punitive.
Mm-hmm. So
we would call it Oz, the Great Wonderful Oz. So thank you so much. Wow, how lucky are we that we get to interview people like this now? It's kind of crazy.
Right?
Welcome back, by the way.
Hey.
In the intro, I jokingly said that you weren't fired. So that's it's been a crazy ride this season. I can't believe we're getting, you know, businesses, gym owners, coaches.
Right.
Cheerleaders. I mean, we have Angel Rice coming on. I cannot wait for that one. Victor, Rosario,
Angel.
Is it Kristen Rosario?
Kristen.
You know, the K's always get me. Kristen. Christina. Just in life, I always feel like if like my kids have friends whose names are Kristen, I always feel like I can't, I don't know if that's my Spanish R's.
Christine.
Yeah. So we have an exciting lineup coming up and I'm super excited.
No, I'm so excited. I love the Rosarios and their program, and to have them both, I never thought, but like, this is going to be so cool.
But it's World's Month. Yay. How exciting.
I'm so excited.
All right. So let's just, I just have thank yous. I have thank you to Lisa for joining us, for the, you know, giving us the parental perspective. Thank you for Mr. Owens coming on and, you know, just being his honest, awesome self.
Thank you, Kennedy.
Yeah,
intern Kennedy, because I love her and she teaches us a lot.
I should probably
always thank you, Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy's awesome. And I have one. I was going to say something. Oh yeah, you. If Marcus sounds funny, it's only because this is the first time you and I are recording not together. We usually record together.
Not together.
No.
This is kind of funky.
I don't like it.
I feel like I'm being interviewed.
I don't like it. I miss you. I like the energy when we're in the same room. Otherwise, I'm just sitting here in my bedroom holding a mic. So just a little bit before we head off, as far as last weekend, I didn't really see, I saw new companies come up with, what's it called? New programs for next year that are new competitions, possibly that state of play. I didn't really see anything except maybe, and I don't know. You can tell me, or we can edit this out if you don't want. But I thought I saw something about Ryan like getting pulled. Did you see that? Like,
hold on, say that again.
Like she got pulled to like by a parent to. Take a picture with a kid, and it was like really intense and not great for her. But that's all I picked up scuttlebutt wise on social media this weekend. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, I think she posted a comment about it on her social media. So I don't know the details of it, but I just wanted to send her a big hug because that must suck.
No, I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, check with your cuz. hey, you know who we forgot to thank? Zach.
Who?
Zach.
Wasn't he awesome?
His podcast is doing really well. I think you were right about coaches wanting to hear from, you know, that. I think the younger generation coaching is going to be a great segment for us for the future.
I love that little segment I just kind of threw in there. I love it. And he did so good. I got texts after that was like, that people were saying like this was like a really good episode and they really liked listening. So, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Period.
Period. Thank you. I don't have anything else. You've got anything else going on?
No. Did we thank Sean the producer guy? Because he's awesome.
He's amazing. He's getting a couple splices this week. Thank you, Sean the producer guy. We only have, I believe, 6 more episodes. This is our 6. 5 more. 5 more to do. Wow.
5 more?
I think so.
Oh.
It goes by so quickly.
It's all happening so fast. It is World Month.
It's World Month. All right, well then I will talk to you in person next week, Mr. Marcus.
Yes.
So thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. I believe you can find all our information on our website, www.cheerbomb.com. And we're just so grateful for everyone who listens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, hey, before you go, this is Sean the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to be part of the Cheerbomb family and show your support, jump to our website at www.cheerbomb.com and check out our Cheerbomb merchandise for sale or find out how you can support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheerbomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast with your friends. Have a great week.
Cheerbomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.